Namaste. Welcome to Dharma Reflections with Raghu Madurai. Today we are still continuing with the Practical Krishna series. We have been looking at various incidents in the life of Krishna and trying to look at the human angles and profit from it. Our objective is to look at the human dimension of Krishna so that we can emulate his example. In our lives, we interact with every other person based on some relationship, and the relationship is going to determine the outcome of our interactions. For example, if an infant is kicking its feet on the chest of a person, it is bound to produce happiness, whereas a hostile person trying to do the same action will quickly escalate the aggression. Another interesting thing in relationship is it is never static. There is a constant change. There is a give and take. So whenever we have an interaction, we are either crediting or debiting to the balance in the equation with that person. Sometimes relationships can be very extreme. Sometimes the relationship can be very mundane and without any drama. Based on the participants, they can radically alter the nature of relationship. Some of the relationships can be very toxic, and the best thing one can do is to avoid them. There is one category of complicated relationships that keeps changing dynamically, and due to this constant extreme dynamism, one has to be sensitive to the direction and intensity at all times. Krishna encountered the entire range of relationship possible with all the characters he interacted. Some of them were negative and they barely changed. For example, Jarasandha, Kamsa, Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra, despite all the efforts, they would not budge from their position. But there was one character who tested Krishna's position, and Krishna had to use a lot of tact every time he interacted with this person. The personality we are going to dive deep is his brother-in-law, Rukmi. We are going to take a combination of Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharata to paint a picture about Rukmi. Bhishmaka was the king of Vidarbha. He had 5 sons. The eldest one was Rukmi, and he had 4 brothers, Rukmartha, Rukmabahu, Rukmesha, and Rukmamali. Bhishmaka also had a daughter, Rukmini, and she was the youngest. We will look at Rukmini Vivaha and its secrets separately, but nonetheless, we will take a look into some elements of Rukmini Vivaha. Rukmini was not only incomparable in her beauty, but she was matchless in her character, and she fell in deep love with Krishna. And Krishna was quite aware of Rukmini, and he had a similar interest in her. Though they never met or exchanged information, this love was due to people traveling between the two cities and informing each other of the other person. Shishubala was the person of choice Jarasandha had picked for a political marriage because Rukmi and Shishubala were both his sidekicks. The marriage was well attended by all the anti-Krishna loyalists headed by Jarasandha, Salva, Dantavakra, Vidurata, and Paundraka. Rukmini, on the eve of the marriage, had sent a message to Krishna and requested him to rescue her. Realizing that the marriage was the very next day, Krishna dashed to Vidarbha as soon as he got the message. Sensing trouble, Balarama followed suit with his entire Vrishni army. Suddenly seeing Krishna, the confused Bhishmaka offered him excellent hospitality. The next day, Rukmini went to the Devi temple, offered her puja, and she was scanning the crowd for Krishna. Krishna came there with his chariot, with his Garuda Dvaja prominent on his chariot, and took Rukmini in style. All the kings and princes, from Jarasandha to Shishupala, attacked with their powerful armies. By the time the Vrishni army was ready to counter the efforts of the desperate assemblage of kings, Krishna took Rukmini in his chariot and proceeded towards Dwaraka. Rukmi, unable to brook this insult and defeat, took an akshauni of his army and made a promise never to returned to Kundinapura, the capital of his kingdom, without Rukmini. Soon he caught up with Krishna and challenged him, only to find himself outmatched and outclassed as his entire army was single-handedly wiped out by Krishna. Rukmini was reduced to a pitiable state and faced certain death. Rukmini fell at Krishna's feet, pleading mercy. Krishna, obliged to spare his life, yet bound him with his own clothes and partially tonsured Rukmini's head as a gesture of Rukmini's loss. In the meantime, Balarama arrived there, defeating all the opponents. Seeing Rukmini's sorry state and the crying Rukmini, he repeatedly chastised Krishna for shaming a relative and consoled Rukmini again and again. Balarama said, "Blinded and intoxicated by pride and arrogance, infatuated by power and wealth, indiscriminate people only fight with their relatives for the sake of territory, land, wealth, women, reputation, or display one's prowess." And he repeatedly assured Rukmini that Krishna was not in that category. Balarama's advice consoled Rukmini, who gave up her sorrow. Eventually, Rukmini married Krishna in a well-attended wedding in Dwaraka. On account of his grave defeat, Rukmini settled in the place where he got defeated, built a city called Bhojakata, and he built a kingdom around it. He never went back to his father's place ever. The next incident, we are going to gain insight about Rukmini and his role in Mahabharata war, comes from Mahabharata. Many times the Puranas give complementary information that we can piece like a puzzle to create a picture, because the primary focus of the Itihasa or Purana is not the character we are discussing. There is another interesting piece of information from Mahabharata which lists all the asuras and devas who take birth as a part of the events that occur in Mahabharata. Mahabharata informs us an asura, Krodhavasa, was behind Rukmini's birth. Rukmini had good relationships with Hastinapura and Indraprastha. Rukmini accepted Sahadeva's rule when Sahadeva had come as a part of his southern conquest, as a part of crowning Yudhishthira as the emperor. Years later, when Karna came on a similar expedition to cheer up Duryodhana, he put up a fight, and upon his defeat, he paid a rich tribute to Karna and informed Karna that he did the fight as a part of his duty. The Udyoga Parva in Mahabharata captures Rukmini's role in the war. Rukmini had mastered Dhanurvidya from Druma. This Kimpurusha was a courtier in the court of Kubera. He also gave a very powerful bow called Vijaya, which made Rukmini an outstanding warrior. Yudhishthira sent a request to support him in the war. Honoring that call, Rukmini raised an akshauni of his army and offered Yudhishthira. Despite all the facade, Rukmini had two major flaws. He was too proud of his own strength despite his loss at the hands of Krishna years ago. And he had a strong hate for Krishna on the inside. The Pandavas offered him hospitality upon arrival. Rukmini addressed Arjuna that he can expect 100% support from his side in the war. But his pride gave a demonstration of his arrogance when he began to claim that he will slay one of the heroes, Bhishma, Drona, or Karna. He could have stopped there, and that would have been considered as an act of pumping up for the war. He went on to thunder that he will win the earth from all the kings who have joined forces with Duryodhana and lay it at the feet of Pandavas, kind of hinting that the poor Pandavas can get their land due to his prowess and mercy, and the Pandavas will be safe because Rukmini is there to protect them. This is a huge insult to any Kshatriya worth his salt, let alone the Pandavas. We must quickly recall, at this point, Arjuna is still filled with strong abhimana for Drona and Bhishma. He is yet to work out his inner misgivings on the real identity of Atman. So, the idea of killing Drona and Bhishma was definitely not palatable to Arjuna, who was secretly fantasizing that victory can be had without invoking that option. Arjuna, in a pleasant voice, shared that the size of Kaurava army does not faze him. He was the prime disciple of Drona. under the guidance of Vasudeva, there is no question of fear of the enemy. He recalled how single-handedly he fought on many occasions. He fought the Gandharvas to release Duryodhana. He also took on the might of Devas and Danavas together with only Krishna on his side during the Kandava Daga Parva. Relying only on the might of Gandiva, he destroyed the Nivatakavachas and Kalakeyas. And these two groups were beyond the reach of even Indra. Arjuna said, after paying his respects and getting the blessings of Rudra, Indra, Kubera, Yama, Agni, Varuna, Kripa, Drona and Krishna, and relying on the might of Gandiva and his inexhaustible quivers, how can fear taint the mind of Arjuna? Would it not lead to undying infamy? Arjuna merely stated that the Pandava victory is not reliant on Rukmi, and the side he chooses makes no difference. Rukmi did not realize that it was his sharp tongue and ego that bruised Arjuna, and this was an exercise of unwanted pride. Arjuna's words hurt the fragile ego of Rukmi, who took it as a personal insult. So he went straight to Duryodhana, but he did not learn the lesson from Arjuna. He repeated the same words to Duryodhana. Duryodhana is a warrior who was always proud of his strength. Naturally, Duryodhana rejected him, forcing Rukmi to sit out of the epic battle only due to his pride. Along with Balarama, he was the only major warrior who did not participate in the Mahabharata war. One must remember, this war was all about Dharma, restoring Dharma. The last incident in Rukmi's life comes to us from Srimad Bhagavata's Dasama Skanda, 61st chapter. Rukmini and Krishna had their first son, Pradyumna. Pradyumna defeated all the kings assembled at Rukmi's daughter Rukmavati's Swayamvara, thus winning her hands and heart. Though Rukmi had strong animosity towards Krishna, his love for Rukmini and Pradyumna's victory forced him to enter into a relationship by giving Rukmavati's hands to Pradyumna. This couple had a son, Aniruddha. Rukmi had a son whose daughter, obviously Rukmi's granddaughter, Rochana, was available for marriage, though it was not according to the Shastras. And since both sides were eager to maintain strong family bonds, Rukmi gave Rochana's hands in marriage to Aniruddha. On the occasion of the marriage, after the ceremonies were over, some mischievous kings, like the ruler of Kalinga, advised Rukmi to take advantage of Balarama's weakness. Balarama was always eager to gamble, but he lacked the expertise. Also, in the past, kings considered gambling and a call for war as an act of manliness, and it was their dharma to participate. This was the same reason why Yudhishthira could not refuse the game of dice when Duryodhana arranged for the game. Balarama was losing the game badly at every round. The king of Kalinga was jeering Balarama that only added to the irritation aspect in the next wager, which kept increasing from 10, 100, 1000, 10,000, and eventually a lakh of panas. Pana means gold coin. Balarama won, but Rukmi claimed victory falsely. The game proceeded with a fuming Balarama playing 10 crore panas. Balarama won that game fair and square. Rukmi claimed victory again on false grounds and asked the spectators to take his side. An Akashavani announced that Balarama won the game playing fair and Rukmi was false. Prompted by the support of evil kings and Kala time, Rukmi ignored the Akashavani and started to abuse and belittle Balarama and indirectly Krishna. He ridiculed that playing dice or sporting arrows were meant for kings like him, not for wandering cowherds, meaning Krishna and Balarama. The irritation culminated with being mocked as a cheater in the game. And that was the last straw on the camel's back for Balarama. He took a club and knocked Rukmi dead right there. He knocked the teeth of the giggling king of Kalinga, who was now running away in fear. All the other kings taking Rukmi's side were thrashed before they ran away. Krishna maintained silence as he could support neither Balarama nor console Rukmini, as it would displease the other. Bhagavatam refers to Krishna's state of mind as Sneha Bhanga Bayadari. Krishna was afraid of upsetting their relationship with Balarama and Rukmini. Let us pause the story here, take a few minutes to translate these incidents into our lives. Without the practical application of these stories, it remains as a story. But when we apply it and benefit from its wisdom, then it becomes a tool in our spiritual progress. The first aspect is tolerance. Rukmi did transgress his limits on multiple occasions. Krishna forgave his very first violation due to his love for Rukmini. Rukmini, the new bride-to-be, made her first request, and it was hard for Krishna not to oblige to her. But he did ensure that Rukmi will remember his humiliation due to the defeat and also the partial tonsuring of his hair. While this defeat can cast long shadows, Krishna was fine with Pradyumna marrying Rukmavati and eventually his grandson Aniruddha marrying Rukmi's granddaughter Rochana. In relationships, there will always be a give and take. If a relationship is one-sided, which means that there is one person always giving all the time or another person taking all the time, such a relationship is headed for disaster. And the big picture needs to be kept in mind rather than one-dimensional relationship. Sometimes in relationship, one has to bite the bullet for a larger cause. Yet, one has to be aware of the red line. When dharma of any sort gets violated, one must always take sides with dharma, try to protect it. Otherwise, the fallout will consume us for supporting the wrong side, even if it be passively. The next aspect we are going to look at is tamas. We saw how many of Krishna's antagonists like Jarasandha, Kamsa, Shishupala all give excellent insight into tamas and how not to be. Rukmi forced his father Bhishmaka and his sister Rukmini into a political marriage with Shishupala. Though the entire kingdom, right from the common man to Bhishmaka and Rukmini, were of the opinion that Krishna alone was the right match for Rukmini. And it is interesting to understand that if one were to counter tamas, one needs to take action. Mere wish will not suffice. Rukmini's brave actions led her to Krishna. To counter tamas, proper timely actions outside the comfort zone is a must. Another form of Rukmi's tamas was expressed in the form of arrogance and pride. Arjuna was famous for his prowess. He single-handedly defeated the entire Kaurava army. He had won many battles single-handed. Rukmi slighted him by saying that he alone can kill Bhishma, Drona, Karna and all the other kings, and he will gracefully offer the prize of victory to the Pandavas. Though it may sound like an act of bravado, the arrogance was very obvious. Arjuna politely put him into place and gave him the choice to stay or leave. If Rukmi's heart was in its right place, he would have stayed. But instead, he went to the opposite side and repeated the same mistake. His arrogance brought him the same rejection, thus joining Balarama as the only other warrior who did not participate in the Mahabharata war. Tamas blinds us from learning during opportunistic moments. But for tamas, Rukmi would not have made the first error out of arrogance, or at least learnt from it the second time. Tamas, again, was the reason why he wanted to play the game of dice, practice cheating, calling names, eventually leading him to a brutal death. The next lesson we can learn is Krishna's timely silence. Krishna gives us a wonderful example of how to handle delicate situations in life. Many times we react, and we react without thinking. Instead of pausing and acting upon the situation, we merely react to the situation. In such tight situations, like how Krishna faced, silence is the best response. Rukmi's death, that too at the end of the marriage festivities, must have been a big shock to Rukmini, who loved her brother. Balarama, on the other hand, was fuming due to the abuses of Rukmi and his friends. He felt he was justly responding on behalf of Krishna and himself. If Krishna consoled Rukmini, that would have definitely enraged Balarama even more, who would feel that Krishna was taking sides with his wife's family. On the other hand, a simple pat on Balarama's shoulder, or a sign language, or an agreement to Balarama's indignation would have made Rukmini furious, let alone Krishna making a statement that Balarama completed the task what Krishna wanted to do years ago. In tight situations, silence speaks volumes than actual words. The last aspect we can look at is the need to change. Rukmi was granted a special pardon due to the grace of Rukmini. Despite the years, Rukmi never gave up his natural tendencies. His arrogance only strengthened in time. Krishna could have easily killed him during his very first encounter. Yet ironically, Balarama, who criticized Krishna by his lecture on not to hurt relatives, was the same person who ended up killing Rukmi, and that too on an auspicious occasion. Krishna seems to have used Balarama for the same task that he was against. What is behind all this? Our vasanas. Our vasanas are very powerful. They continuously guide us towards its native tendencies. The vasanas influence our gunas, which in turn affects our vasanas. Together, the vasanas and gunas force us to do our karmas in a particular way. Only a conscious change of the gunas by exerting purusharta can help us get out of this perpetual cycle. Otherwise, we will be dragged to our strong vasanas. Purusharta is nothing but having a superior goal and attempting to overcome our old vasanas. Rajas and tamas act heavily on our purusharthas and prevent our guna composition to become more sattvic. To beat these odds, consistent sadhana is important. Also, regular satsanga and study of Itihasa Puranas, Upanishads, Gita can help us big time. When we study the different characters of Itihasa Puranas in the form of different tales, they help us quickly to connect with the attributes that we want to work on. May we continuously work in increasing our Sattva Guna. May Krishna's life and actions, words and wisdom continue to inspire us in making every effort in furthering in this spiritual journey. Om Tat Sat.